Before we open God's word, let us bow our heads in prayer. A loving and gracious Father in heaven, it's a joy to come before thee in prayer before we open thy word, knowing that thou art a Father in heaven who has created us and loves us beyond what words can say, has loved us so much that thou hast sent thine only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to shed his blood, to bear our sins, and to provide forgiveness, salvation, and freedom through his stripes and through his life. And in the joy of the resurrection and in the hopefulness that that brings to our lives, we desire to unite our hearts in prayer and ask that thou would feed us through thy word in this afternoon hour. Bless us and be with us as we have sung and we have prayed, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I desire that we would turn to Gospel of Mark, chapter 2. For our reading this afternoon hour, I'd like to read the first 12 verses with God's help. And again he entered into Capernaum, after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say, To the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, and take up thy bed, and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. I'd like to conclude with verse 12. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and may we all bow before the Lord in prayer.
With bended knees, Heavenly Father, we come before thee in this afternoon hour. We have opened up thy word, the words that have been preserved down through the ages, words that we are familiar with, oft times read and understood. But we have gathered this afternoon, Heavenly Father, that thy word might go forth, truth, simplicity, and that you would inspire our brother to bring these words of truth and life, and that we might be the beneficiaries of thy grace and thy mercy and thy great love. And that we might once again realize the miracles of life that thou canst give when one soul is sins are forgiven. And we, Heavenly Father, pray that of the loved ones that gather with us that have not experienced the forgiveness of their sins, that they might realize again another day has been presented to them, that God would forgive them their sins if they would but repent and turn unto thee, call upon thee, humble themselves with a broken and contrite heart. Father, we know that this goes against our own human nature. But it is through the power of the Holy Spirit that one is able to humble himself, come before thee, and seek thy forgiveness, and to seek thy mercies and thy grace. Heavenly Father, we're mindful this afternoon of many that are unable to gather for various reasons. And there are those that have desired not to gather, maybe because of the sins in their lives. Maybe they don't believe in thee. Maybe they don't understand those scriptures. Whatever the reason might be, Heavenly Father, we pray that men might realize that the day is at hand, that the gospel message must go forth, and that thy Son will return any day, the day in which we know not. But nonetheless, Heavenly Father, we know that there are souls that have not been saved. There are souls that do not turn to thee. We pray, Father, that you will touch the hearts of those that have heard, that know the way, and would humble themselves before thee. We're mindful, Heavenly Father, of our elderly that are sick and unable to gather, those that perhaps are in hospital beds, nursing homes, wherever they may be, that you'll be with them as well. And for our missionaries, wherever they may be, bringing forth the gospel message to those that have perhaps never heard, or even those that are learning of thee in foreign lands and countries where they don't worship the living God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we have again another opportunity here in our country, that we can gather freely in quietness, unmolested, and that we're able to hear the gospel message once again. So we pray, Father, bless our being together. Bless each one that has gathered again in this afternoon hour. Fulfill their needs, whatever that might be. We know, Heavenly Father, that we all have many times have needs that are can only be fulfilled by Thee, the living God. And so we commit them in Thy care and keeping and faith, believing that You can do for us what You have done for this man that was leapt down through the roof and that he was healed. So, Father, we commit ourselves into Thy care and keeping. Ask a blessing in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We can all take a great comfort from the words that were shared in the prayer as we knelt together and approached our Lord and acknowledged before Him that He can provide for all of our needs. With the children, we sang this morning, "What a friend we have in Jesus. All of our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms, He will guide and keep thee. Thou wilt find a solace there." We sang of the love of Christ and how being in at Christ's breast, in His arms, held by Him and comforted by Him is like a cool, refreshing shadow over our souls. And as we think about the love of God and the blessing that He has given to us who have been had an opportunity to come in the house of God to hear the Word, we can, when we truly desire and believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, God's provision, God's blessing, His presence, and His love for each and every one of us, without exception. We need to be still. We need to allow that truth of God to take hold of our heart and to allow the truths of God to illuminate our situation, our struggles, the things that we're going through. And trust that He's able to help us bear them. And He's a faithful friend who is able to help in our time of need. And I hope that when we come together to hear the Word, that we're seeking to be in Christ's arms, that we are seeking to trust more fully and have more dependence and place more of ourselves in the arms of our Savior, Jesus Christ. In His arms and His care, we lack nothing. And we see a great blessing that's unfolding in this chapter 2 of Mark. The ministry of Jesus is gaining some popularity. It's gaining some notice by the people around the Sea of Galilee. And people are coming to see the miracles. They're coming to see the teachings. Even in this, the second chapter of Mark's gospel, early on in the ministry of Jesus Christ, after some days, Jesus returned to Capernaum, and it was noise that He was in the house. The city was abuzz, knowing that Jesus had returned, that He was present, and immediately many people gathered. And it wasn't just a few people to gather in the room. We have many people today. But the room was full. All the benches would be full. The aisleways would be full. There would be no room in the foyer. And it says even to the approaching of the house, not so much as about the door, there were people lined up outside the door, desiring and pressing to hear the words of Jesus Christ. We read in the Bible how there were times when the word of God was precious because there was maybe not so much open revelation. That teaching wasn't going out as freely. This was a time when Jesus Christ was speaking and at work with these people. This was something of a precious value. And they desired, they pressed in. They wanted to hear more. And they filled up the house. And you can imagine Jesus sitting down to teach and these people coming together. It must have been a very reverent place. Because in order to hear with so many people, they had to be quiet. They had to quiet down their own conversations to hear, what does the Master want to say? What does he want to teach? And some were coming to hear the blessed news of salvation and truth, the teachings and the authority with which Jesus brought the word, and some were critical. And they were listening maybe with one ear to Jesus and one ear to their own hearts. But they were there, and they were crowding the room. And there was a man who was laying in a bed who didn't expect any blessings, perhaps, because he could not get up to go to this gathering. And he was approached by four of his friends who offered to take him, who offered to bring his bed and him in it to hear the Master and see what could Jesus do. And these men brought the man who was sick, who needed to see the Lord. And these men came with faith. They had a desire, just like many parents and we do for our loved ones that gather with us, who hear the word. We want you to know and to experience Jesus Christ, his word and his transforming power, his healing for the spirit and the body. And we pray, and we must pray with faith. And we can see the faith of these men that helped bring this man. They came and they could not approach for the press, for all the people were pressing into the house and they couldn't enter in. And faith informed them that they should not be discouraged by the obstacles that were in their way. Faith informed them that there had been times when God's people were in a position where obstacles and difficulties presented themselves. For example, when Moses was leading the children of Israel and they came to the Red Sea. The Red Sea is a formidable barrier for these people to cross. And then behind them came Pharaoh's army to retrieve them. And what did the Lord do? And Moses, go stretch your rod out over the sea. And the Lord went in a pillar of a fire and smoke and put darkness over the people of Egypt and opened up the Red Sea before the children of Israel, provided them a way through where there seemed to be no way. It is the testimony of our Lord and the things that we read about in the scriptures that teach us that God is faithful. And when we put our faith and trust in him, we will be like these men that are undeterred by the challenge that is in front of them. They are going to bring their friend to the Lord. And so they couldn't get through the door, and so they started going up on the roof. Now picture for yourselves this crowded room of people that's trying to hear Jesus talk, and there are four people walking with the weight of one man climbing up the steps on the way to the top of the roof and making a commotion on top of the roof. They're straining to hear the words of the Lord. There's no amplification. They're in a room. There's probably a lot of people absorbing the sound, and it's becoming difficult to hear. They're noticing something is going on. Our prayer life will have a noticeable effect to others. When we are praying for someone and desiring their spiritual good and their benefit, it will have an impact. Other people will notice, and we will treat other people with the grace and kindness and help and openness that we would like to receive for ourselves. And so these people that were in the room, they heard, they noticed something was going on. And then all of a sudden, the thatched roof was being removed. The beams perhaps were being taken off. And you can think of four men on the top of the roof like roofers. They're making some commotion. They're making some noise because this work is difficult. But they're determined. They're desiring. And more so than their determination, they believed beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus could do something for this man. It wasn't wishful thinking. It was their faith in action. It was their faith bearing fruit. And they uncovered the roof where he was. And what do the people think? They had broken it up. They let down the bed whereon the sick of the palsy lay. They had tied perhaps ropes to the ends of the bed. And they let down the weight of a man on these ropes as they hung over the side, and gingerly, as easily as they could, and as evenly perhaps as they could, let this man down. What were they thinking when they saw this man coming down? They've never seen it on this fashion. Were they worrying that he was going to fall? Were they angry because their services were interrupted? We know exactly what, we might not know what everyone was thinking, but we know what Jesus was thinking. He saw the efforts of these men, and he saw the willingness of this man who really could do nothing of his own. And he saw their faith, and he looked on them with a satisfied smile. He was glad to see their faith. And maybe there was even some joy in the fact that they had to go through such lengths and show their faith. But he knew that they would not go away disappointed. Did those men think that they would have to pull their friend back up on the stretcher who they let down? That would be a huge job to do. They had every hope that they, if they had presented this man and his need to the Lord, that the Lord would not send him away. How hard it is for us sometimes to wonder if the Lord would receive us when we see ourselves as so unworthy and know that we don't deserve his love and we feel unlovable. But it's faith that continues on. It's faith that says Jesus has said certain things about himself, and the Bible teaches me about his faithfulness and his promises. And though I doubt myself, I will not doubt him. And I'm willing to go down, not knowing how I'm going to come up, but only that I will be able to come up by the strength of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is an example of faith. This is a lesson to take with us. To try our own hearts, to try my own heart. Do I believe like this? Do I have faith that the Lord will handle and is capable of taking what I present before him and helping me stand up where I find myself so weak? This is the example of faith in these men and the reception of Jesus on account of their faith. Jesus, it says, saw their faith, and he said unto the sick of the palsy. He said something that probably surprised him. He had probably heard about miracles. He probably heard that Jesus was able to, I believe it says, Jesus healed a leper in chapter 1. He healed Peter's mother-in-law from a sickness. This word had been blazed abroad. And so he is probably expecting the first words out of Jesus' mouth to be healed, get up, and go ahead and walk out. But they're not. The first words and the first priority of Jesus Christ addresses the first need and the greatest challenge for all mankind. And that is our sin. Our need for forgiveness. Our need to have a relationship with the Lord that is not one that is estranged, one that is free. And so Jesus goes to the heart of the matter. He says, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." The man did not respond. What did he think? Was he disappointed? Was he wondering, I'm still sitting in my bed. You're supposed to say something else, right, Jesus? He had to think about what was spoken. And everyone in the room had to think about their own need, their own problem, and own challenge. There were certain of the scribes that were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, saying, "Why did this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" They saw Jesus, and they saw a humble carpenter, a man who wasn't educated, who had no right to be speaking these things. They did not realize that he was the very Son of God. And Jesus, perceiving their hearts in his spirit, that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, "Why do you do that?" And Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, oftentimes when we are reading the scriptures and when we are thinking about them and when we are struggling with them, the Lord will ask you, "Why do you struggle with this?" What we need to do is receive it in faith and believe. Why do you struggle? Why, as Jesus said to Saul of Tarsus, why is it that you kick against the pricks? He was grieved with the hardness in their hearts, that they wanted to figure this out. And Jesus presents them a question. Because they're doubting the Lord's authority and his ability or right to say the things that he's saying. How can Jesus prove it? How can Jesus manifest his power to them? He presents to them a question. Which is easier to say, to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? We know of many people who have perhaps broken a leg, and they can't walk. And they go to the doctor, and they get a cast, and the doctor is able to manipulate and help that person and set things up so that their body can get healed. It's possible for a doctor to do something about somebody's physical ailments. But the question isn't, what is it easier to do? The question is, which is easier to say? To deal with one man's sin and their relationship with God and their spiritual life, that a doctor, apart from the Word of God, would not be able to direct someone to the one who can provide healing. But Jesus says, which one is easier to say? And you have to admit that it's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee. Because how can you measure that? Can you see on somebody's face that they're forgiven? Can you see that on your face that you've forgiven them? That's not so apparent. If it's much more difficult to say, arise, take up your bed and walk, and then have instantly that take place. Jesus is expressing to them that his words of forgiveness, Jesus is expressing to your heart and to mine that his expression of forgiveness and his offer of forgiveness is not empty words. Because he's about to back up and say the things that is much harder. Can you imagine if he said to the man, "Rise up and walk"? He tries to rise up and nothing happens. That's not the way that Jesus' words go forth. They accomplish the things that he provides for them to do. He wants them to know of a surety, that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Maybe that needs to be something that's reinforced and appreciated greater in our hearts. How difficult it is sometimes for even ourselves to forgive ourselves. It's not our job. God only can forgive sins. And we trust and believe based on the promises in his word that those who come to him in a contrite heart, in humility, just like this man of palsy, who could do nothing of himself and was trusting in nothing of his own ability, but coming for the forgiveness that God alone could provide, for the help that God alone could provide, that God will not turn that heart away. That ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. If you know that truth and that truth is being presented, why do you hesitate? Why do you hold back, my friend? With open arms, he presents to you this truth and then turns to the man that's sick of the palsy. He's about to say something that if there's no real power in his words, if there's no follow through in what he says, he's going to be known as someone who is false. But Jesus confidently, with authority, without a doubt in his mind, says, "I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thy house." Jesus, our Lord, in mercy and love, came to us in our house that we've built of our own making. He says, "Arise, take up thy bed, go thy way into thy house." And the man immediately arose and took up the bed and went forth before them all. Did he take the ropes from which he was let down? Did he untie them and take the time to take those ropes off, to take his bed? Did he go through all of the effort of what Jesus had commanded him to do after he had received such a great gift of deliverance, of freedom, and forgiveness? Absolutely. Wouldn't you and I, after receiving this pearl of great price, this blessing which could not even be uttered, would you not also desire to give your all into his hands and obey his every command? Absolutely. And this man, despite, he could have said, "Well, I can stand. I don't need my bed anymore. Let the men pull it up through the roof and fix it up. I'm out of here. I can't believe this is such a great blessing." No. Whatever it is that Jesus is telling me to do, I will do it. I'll listen. I'll do it immediately, he says. He arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all. This man probably wasn't one who was used to being in front of a crowd and probably wanted to get out of there as quickly as possible. But what shame or embarrassment is there of lingering on a little bit longer and taking care of the work that Jesus had left for him? Not a problem. Lord, whatever it is that the Lord wants me to do, the Lord wants you to do, maybe have a willing heart, that heart of faith that not only approaches the Lord, but then also goes forth and obeys. And this gave a testimony to everyone that is in the house. They were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw it on this fashion." There were hearts that were changed. They were moved. They were touched at the understanding of Jesus Christ to address this man's deepest needs and also to fill his wants. Jesus does that for us. He fills our deepest needs and he fills our wants. You might say, "Well, there's a very fancy car that I'd like, and that's my want. But Jesus isn't giving me that, and I'm disappointed with Jesus." No, 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 no. Jesus fills our every want by becoming everything that we want. And if we desire him, if we yearn for him, if we press into that room to see him and to hear him and to hear his reassuring words of forgiveness and his power and authority and his ability to help us and heal us, he'll make himself known to us and will not go away empty-handed or disappointed. And if we realize that all of this is done to the honor of glory of God and for our good, there will be those that are amazed. There will be those that look on, and they, as a result of our willing submission and faith to the Lord, glorify God. They will see those good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven, and say, "We never saw it on this fashion. This is unlike anything that we've ever seen." The world is trying to present something to you every single day. Something amazing, something controversial, something to tug at your heartstrings. But oftentimes, it's the same old story in just new packaging. We never saw it on this fashion because this man was changed from within. That is the life that our Lord desires for each of us to live, to his honor and his glory. And we take the example of Jesus Christ and what we learn from him today, apply it to our lives, and seek to accept it in faith and bring glory to God, our Heavenly Father. May God bless his word.
outstanding thing to me in this portion of Scripture was the persistent faith that these four had in making an effort to bring this man before Christ. And my friend outside of Christ, those of you that have made a beginning to want to serve the Lord, or maybe some of you that would like one day to be a child of God, you must persevere. And this is what they did with this man. They persevered. And he himself must have as well persevered, because, you see, he could have said, "Oh, man, no, look at all the people. How am I ever going to get that close? Just forget it. We'll try it some other time." But no, he didn't. He went up on the roof, opened it up, and lowered him down. That's perseverance. And sometimes that's what we need to do. Persevere. Continue. Don't give up. Like they say, don't give up. Keep on, keep on. And I'm reminded of the scriptures that Paul wrote to the Galatians, and he said in chapter 6, verse 9, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." So let us keep in mind, let us remember the perseverance that these had, and that is what's going to get us through this life, the perseverance to continue to strive to live a godly life. May God bless these words upon our hearts. Amen.